This is AgriPulse Drive Time for Wednesday, November 12th, brought to you by Farm Credit. Good afternoon, I'm Jeff Nally. After an eight-week absence, members of the House of Representatives are back in Washington and preparing for a vote that could ultimately end the longest government shutdown in the nation's history. The House is scheduled to take up a bill to reopen the government that the Senate passed earlier this week. House Speaker Johnson said the GOP was, quote, very optimistic about the outcome. The House has not been in legislative session since September 19th. Ending the government shutdown won't immediately resolve the SNAP crisis in the country. The Trump administration froze funding for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program at the end of October, impacting food access for some 42 million Americans. Pending the House vote, it is still unclear when SNAP payments might resume if the government does soon reopen. Last year, SNAP recipients redeemed a little more than $96 billion in benefits, that according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The majority, or 74%, was spent at superstores and supermarkets, a category that includes big chains like Walmart and Kroger, but also some smaller independent stores. About 14% was spent at smaller grocery stores and convenience stores, businesses often tucked into neighborhoods and more easily accessible to SNAP beneficiaries. The SNAP delay has been challenging for both individuals and the stores where they shop. The government shutdown will impact the release of data from the government. Today, White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt said two major government reports on inflation and the labor market for October likely never will be released. The six-week government shutdown largely halted the release of government data that Wall Street and economic policymakers rely on to measure the economy's health. The White House indicated the reports on inflation and employment for last month will be lost due to the long closure of federal agencies. Leavitt said, quote, all of that economic data released will be permanently impaired, leaving our policymakers at the Fed flying blind at a critical period. The next meeting of Fed governors is set for next month. Leavitt said the government shutdown, quote, made it extraordinarily difficult for economists, investors, and policymakers at the Fed Reserve to receive critical government data. Chinese state trader COFCO's oilseed unit said this week that it has signed agreements to purchase Brazilian soybeans, soybean oil, palm oil, and other agriculture products worth a total volume of nearly 20 million tons worth over $10 billion. The contracts with traders include ADM, Bunge, Cargill, and Louis-Dreyfus were signed last week at the China International Import Expo in Shanghai. The statement made no mention of U.S. farm goods. Well, despite easing some tariffs on a range of U.S. agriculture goods, China has kept a 10% levy on all U.S. imports, limiting expectations for a broader trade recovery. Soybean tariffs, for example, have dropped from 23% to 13%, but they're still too high for private buyers. And speaking of China, Chinese buyers sharply boosted soybean purchases from South America earlier this year while shunning those from the U.S. Soybean stocks at Chinese ports reached a record 10.3 million tons November 7th, up 3.6 million tons compared to last year. Today's Drive Time is brought to you by Farm Credit. From the countryside to the capital, Farm Credit customers, directors, and employees are in Washington, D.C. to share their stories and urge Congress to pass Farm Bill 2.0. Farm Credit has supported rural America and agriculture for more than 100 years and will continue to be there for our customers in good times and bad. While every customer's story is unique, they share a common thread. Farm Credit helps them grow. Now they're counting on Congress to deliver a Farm Bill 2.0 to ensure rural America remains strong for the next generation. Well, that's all for today's Drive Time. For more agriculture, trade, food, environment, and regulatory news, visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Nellings.